closing main breaker.
And you know what that means, boys and girls.
It's time for the Jingle Show.
Part two.
Right? We're back, boys. It's been so long, hasn't it?
We were gone for over a week, and I have stacks of stuff here that I want to talk about. So this is part two, and if you're listening to it out of order, you need to go back to
part one first.
Listen to part one where we talked about
it.
Or not.
Right.
And we mentioned one thing in part one that we were going to talk about, which was domestic spying. We talked a little bit about it, but I'm going to skip that until maybe next week.
Okay.
So last time we talked about the, what did we talk about anyway? Immigration. Oh, which reminds me, and we talked about endangered species in part one. Now this, we did, during the break here, get to watch Larry King, right?
Right.
And we
missed the Bush
speech because we were doing this show for you people.
Right. But by the time you hear this,
But what I thought, we were watching television while you were spooling the tracks up to get ready for the mix. And I did notice on Larry King, he's sitting on the border, San Ysidro, right? This is where
live. Right.
Okay, this is going to be great. I don't know if we're going to see it because we had to turn the TV off to watch the show. It is now Monday night, 9:15. Apparently, his speech was 45 minutes or something. We missed it while we were doing the show. But we were watching Larry King on, and he's going to be on, or as we say this, he's going to be on, or just started a show on MSNBC or whatever.
You will have already seen it.
You'll have already seen it. But what I'm wondering, of course, is were there any shots?
Right.
Because they panned the border.
Right.
And what did you see there? You saw big... Not a Humvee. No, it's a big armored troop carrier with a 50 cal on it.
I missed the Bradley.
Bradley, number one on the border. They were showing this with not even a telephoto lens. I mean, this is like he's sitting right there.
Right next to it.
And then they showed some guy, like, just back from Iraq with the Kevlar and the M16 or whatever.
Right, trying to get across. That's Larry King's security. You missed that.
No, that could be. Because I suppose there's some people, although he does softball everybody in sight. I mean, it's not like he's really controversial.
So they're going to have somebody trying to get across?
I thought maybe they're going to hire somebody to try and get across the border and have a little target practice. I mean, no, the simple fact is, why do you carry a gun? It's to shoot somebody. So when all is said and done, you could talk about guest worker, you can talk about your wall, you can talk about your round up the aliens, but I mean, the fact is, you're carrying a gun.
Right.
It's an automatic gun.
Right.
It is able to fire multiple rounds per second.
And you're going to see that Mexican come screaming up over the border, and it's going to be...
the thing about it is, it's not as much fun as a car chase, you know, with a helicopter.
Right.
But it's still, I mean, you talk about ratings. That thing, man, I'll tell you, Larry King would be, get some ratings on that.
He'd have a live
execution of somebody trying to get across the border.
From 4 or 5 viewers up to about 12 or 15.
He's
got millions. There's no question.
No, he's got hundreds of thousands. Nobody on cable gets millions, I don't think.
Come on, CNN, dude.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then I stand corrected. I thought that the big networks get like 7-8 million, don't they? And then I thought there's like 1 million for the cable people max.
He's going to get a lot. You'll have good ratings tonight, I'm sure.
Yeah, right. Well, of course, especially since we're promoting it. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute.
Since we promoted it.
I'm sorry. Right. You didn't hop in the Wayback Machine.
Is aligning the people's.
That's right. So anyway, we're gonna talk a little bit now about oil.
Right.
Which is also in the news, and some stuff about education that is in the news that it's very good. So this is part two. And legal update. I'm sorry. Right. We still have your EJ.
Nice to see you all again, folks.
And our Counselor Curtis.
See?
What are you wearing? What is that? You got a do-rag on. What is that on?
I'm in the refrigerator here.
Oh,
you can keep
right.
This place an arctic temperature. Now it's my second hour.
He's hanging meat in the other room.
I love it. I like to have a little nippy.
I'm stripped down in my underwear here.
He's still sweating over there.
That's right. This is the
Jimmy Doan is layered in silks, I see. Nice shirts.
This is the Jimmy Doan Polar Show. No, it's no problem. I like it a little nippy in here.
Down to my polar grizzly coat.
That's right.
I heard that.
I got my cougar coat on over here.
Yeah, that's right. Panther coat.
Right.
I have, I don't mean he's rich, but his panther coat's made out of mink.
So, I still would pay so much for a panda coat.
Florida mink, right. Mm-hmm. Not many of them.
I want a panda coat so bad.
Dude, you know, that would be kind of nice, especially if you design in a way where the eyes were on the back.
Right on. That'd
be so, or if it was a girl, the eyes could be like red nipples. That'd be so cool. I mean, that would be a coat to wear. Wouldn't you know, do you suppose anybody splashed any blood on that?
Oh. Splash any blood on that. Oh, that's the way to take care of something that valuable. You know, the Chinese actually believe if you sleep on a panda skin, evil spirits can't attack you at night.
Cannot.
It's true.
Cannot.
Exactly. It's true. You kill all the pandas in China, evil spirits.
No, no. They didn't tell you that the panda skin has to be alive.
No.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
You have to sleep with the panda.
That's right.
Oh, and I'll tell you. From behind.
And they're happy pandas. Happy pandas. Okay, no problem. Anyway,
legal update.
Yes.
Okay. Going to jail for that last one, by the way.
I want to remind everybody or do a little update here from the Rhode Island nightclub fire.
Ooh.
People may have remembered that the band Great White performed up in Rhode Island about a year ago, I guess, or was maybe more.
They set off some pyrotechnics.
Right. The 29-year-old band manager ignited the pyrotechnic display, resulted in the death of 100 people.
Jesus, really? I forgot about 100 people died?
Yeah, it was an incredible inferno. The place just burned. There was no way anybody could get out.
The fire exits were locked.
Yeah.
Well, they're blocked and stuff. I mean, more than locked. It was bad. It was horrible, and it was an awful tragedy, but it was an accident.
Mortar. Fireworks, you know.
So, yeah, but it was inside. But anyway, the guy just got sentenced, and he got 4 years in prison.
Okay, now this was the band manager who set the stuff off.
Yes. Yeah.
So
plus he got
he's somebody's bitch. Man.
He got 11 years suspended as well. So that means
being a manager.
He really got exactly.
Okay, now unfortunately you have to serve the 4 years first, right?
Right, exactly.
Well, it wouldn't be too bad if you get the suspended first.
Yeah, well you do, but then they're suspended and happen right away. So then it's over. So, but no, the bottom line is this: you do not have to intend to hurt anybody to go to prison these days. Now, here's this band manager. He set up the same fireworks display in countless clubs across the country. And in this one, there happens to be a bunch of deaths. And so he goes to prison. And so I'm just going to tell you that if you're there, if you're somewhere and they even think, if somebody can even infer that you did something wrong, this guy, they said, didn't have the proper license to set up this pyrotechnics display. And therefore, that's the theory that they got him under, and so they're punishing his incompetence basically. And they
if he'd had the license, they probably would have gotten him anyway. They would have cooked up something else. You know that.
After the club owners.
Yeah, I bet they are because the doors. I mean, that would be the thing. So it is something like a negligence thing.
I have no
idea. Negligent homicide?
He pled to 100 counts of manslaughter.
Oh, manslaughter.
Down from 200. Of course, you can't go to trial. You may think, well, he pled to it, he admitted to it. But if you think about it, you can't go to trial facing 200 counts or something like that because you're facing life in prison.
Right. Many times over.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe if you could do them like individually and be out on bail, you'd...
Let me think.
While the trials are going on. Hey, that's a good idea.
If he went to trial and lost, he'd be in prison longer than John Al Muhammad.
Okay.
So,
longer than Moose.
Yeah, exactly.
No, who is it? No, Methuselah.
Yeah, that guy.
Okay, that guy, right.
And, so the bottom line is, if you're anywhere and somebody dies, if there's even a possibility someone can infer you did something wrong, run, hide, cover your tracks.
Change your name.
Fly, duck.
Change your DNA.
Shoot.
Because,
your DNA.
Get out of town. Well,
that's going to be the next thing is phoning up your DNA. That's the way they got everything.
Fake your death.
Yeah, fake your death.
Something,
that's right.
Because you...
Well, you've talked about that before. It's called mens rea, right?
Right.
And that's where you're supposed to have intended to do harm before you can actually get... But not anymore.
Right. Before you can get a criminal charge.
Well, before you get a criminal charge. Now, let me ask you a question, and something I don't know about is, are misdemeanors criminals too?
Yes.
Okay. So this has to do on the legal update. Are you going to do the thing, or we're going to talk about it later about the cell phones, or not the cell phones.
The X-Lax.
The X-Lax, right. Are you going to do that?
Sure. I'll tell you about that. The story is that a mom helped a kid.
Allegedly.
Bake some cookies with some X-Lax in them for the teacher.
Yeah. Apparently what she did was she told them how to crush the X-Lax pills or something.
Okay, so she conspired.
Because the X-Lax is like a chocolate.
Yeah.
Well, this is still on the bowl.
Yeah, well, this is a no-no. You can't cause someone else to be hurt. And this is a crime, in my opinion. You can't cause someone else to be hurt. You can't conspire to cause someone else.
It can't be a joke. I mean, it's a... No, it's
maybe
a
well, they said it was joke. A prank.
Well, it's a bad prank. It's a prank with beat his butt.
It's not rat poison. I mean, they didn't put arsenic in their cookies and say, oh, these are just for you.
That was my question, right. In other words, what happened? I thought it was interesting about this was that they left the cookies on. The little girls apparently said, we want to do this. And the mother said, well, if you're going to do something like this, this is the way you do it. Right. Okay. So the girls, what, 12 and 14 years old or whatever, middle school, I guess, or something, went in and they put the cookies on the teacher's desk and said, these are for you. We baked these especially for you. I thought, well, what was interesting was it turned out that the people that got sick were the students, i.e., the teacher didn't eat them.
Right. But
she used the students as the tasters.
Yeah, well, that's fine. That's a transferred intent theory.
Those things double-crossed me.
I mean, the teacher walks in, sees these cookies on there, says, oh, isn't this sweet?
Anybody want some cookies?
Or anybody want some cookies, right.
Well, my opinion is that if you intend to hurt somebody, which these kids obviously did, you could say it was a joke all you want, but they were trying to cause this teacher some misery.
Right.
And
but it's mild. I mean, let's put these things in perspective.
Well, they won't get...
They got suspended. No, yeah. they got was suspended. They're going after the mother.
Yeah.
Now, they're charging the mother criminally with a misdemeanor.
Right.
And so, I mean...
She won't do any jail time.
She won't do any jail time, but she'll have a record, of course.
Yeah.
And everything. But this is a prank. You, of course, this brings up the thing is, at what level does prank become? I guess it's a subjective thing. You know,
well, when somebody dies or you kill 100 people.
No, the standard is very simple. If there's a victim, if there's a person that's hurt that was intended to get hurt, it's right. a crime.
Okay.
If one fifth of all Americans have diarrhea at any given time, and that's
but let me ask you this.
Poisoning given to them from restaurants, from the grocery store.
Yeah, but those weren't intended.
They weren't intentional.
Now let me ask you this question: Does this has also carried over into people who have insulted other people and they've been hurt, quote unquote?
For example,
the harassment, for instance, or hate
crime,
hate speech.
I
hate
call you
hate speech
Negro,
where you call somebody.
It's very rare that it gets put into the situation where just the words themselves cause the pain. You have to have a theory where
we did a little spot on a show, one of our podcasts, about somebody that
there was this DJ that was recently arrested.
The DJ, right? That's there.
This rap artist,
right.
basically said over the airwaves that he was going to sexually molest the 4-year-old daughter of one of his competing rap artists.
Right.
Bring her on off show. Or he's a DJ, okay.
And while I agree that is vile behavior, I don't think it's a crime until he said, I will pay somebody $500.
Yes.
Once he said that, he caused action, potentially, and I agree that...
And I'm going to have to agree with EJ here. If he had stopped short of offering the $500 for information about where the girl went to school, which is what he did over the airwaves,
okay.
then he would have been fine in this. But once he does that, then he raises the idea that he really may be intending to do something. Now, the prosecutor should take it on himself to recognize that this was an inter-DJ prank.
Right.
And the prosecutor should make the call on this, but I'm going to tell you what they're going to do. They have already done it. They infer that he could have meant it, and they're going to pass it on to the jury, the finder of fact, to determine whether or not...
jury's going to analyze the fact pattern.
That's what juries do.
Is this a grand jury or a regular trial jury?
Well, I'm talking about a regular jury in general, but they may indict him with a grand jury. They may indict him by...
Well, of course, as I say, grand jury, is that a mean thing? Because the prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich, as
they say. Yeah, absolutely. But my point is that they can pass it on to somebody else as opposed to making the call themselves, which they'll do. They should just say, you know what, this was a stupid prank. And the repercussions are he got fired.
Yeah.
His whole life is going to be turned upside down because of this. It's not like he didn't pay any price for these hideously crude remarks. Now, I'll tell you this.
Oh, my life is ruined.
I'll tell you that he's got a good lawyer, because I saw the lawyer make some comments, and he said that this was disgusting and vile behavior, but it wasn't criminal, which is, in my opinion, what you would say.
Right.
So,
as a defense attorney.
Exactly.
There's no question about that. I've seen that, yeah.
But the first, the second two guys... I can sort of see. I mean, the prosecutor should have waved off on the DJ, the ex-lax person. They can go ahead and prosecute her. The nightclub guy, I can't believe that. I feel bad for the poor guy. He's 29 years old, never tried to hurt anybody. And he's
done
going
hundreds
to
of times.
He did. I mean, he still killed 100 people.
No, he didn't.
He didn't.
The fire
that he started.
No, he didn't start the fire.
He started the pyrotechnics.
He set a pyrotechnics show.
So he started the fire.
Well, you could say that, or you could say that the people thing, who made the foam, that made this flammable foam,
bring
are responsible.
Bring them on down. Bring them there. Bring
well,
them
well,
there.
Well, then, but the roof people, yeah, there was a roof on the place.
They're all being sued, too, aren't they?
Did the roof
and
fall
how about
on
the people who were in front of the people who didn't get out?
Well,
shouldn't they be sued and their families be sued because they didn't get out of the way fast enough? And the people who made the shoes that the people were trying to run out on couldn't.
No, I do that.
Yeah,
Nike.
Deep pockets, man. Deep pockets.
That's right.
You can sue anybody.
And who had those doors locked too? You know, weren't there some doors that were still locked that were supposed to not be exit doors? The Yale lock people would get.
Civil law provides for remedies for all this. If you can prove that somebody was responsible, then you can sue them. You get your remedy. But criminal law is different. You should have to have some criminal intent.
You have to have intent.
You have to have, without intent, you're punishing incompetence. And right. how does that deter anything? How does it deter?
It doesn't.
You can't.
Because when incompetence is based on what the DA thinks at each time. I mean, you can't write it into the law.
No,
and
a person
didn't
can't
have the permit to do this.
That's what they hung it on.
But again,
I mean, if it were just one thing. He accidentally struck, but there were several factors involved, and so he didn't intend to kill 100 people. I should hope not, but he did.
Some people do intend to kill 100 people, is what I'm saying.
Saddam Hussein is on trial right now for killing many more than
and
that.
And those are the ones that we have our jails for.
Well, let me ask you this. Of course, this also brings up, which is recently...
Jail? Covered. Gallows, for that man.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Is DUIs, of course, when you kill somebody, you know, you didn't mean to.
Yeah, see, I've gone to the theory, in my opinion, at this point.
You've gone to the bench with that, haven't you, a couple times?
Well,
defending
sure.
people?
Sure, of course. But in my opinion, if you do not intend to hurt somebody, you should not be held criminally liable. If you want to sue the person, go ahead. But you got your drunk driver driving down the road. Their number one concern, I don't care how drunk you are, how impaired you are, how young you are, whatever you want to blame it on.
You're not trying to kill
You're
anybody.
Not trying to hurt anybody. It's
right.
the car that's dangerous. It's not this driver
Sue
person.
The car.
Things accidents happen.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well,
Sue
there's
GM,
certainly a lot more.
The car,
there's
the
certainly
GM
a lot,
right?
lot more. Well, again, that's for another show. Because that is a good point. I mean, I'm with you on this, there are too many prosecutors and too many prosecutions, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, prosecutors have forgotten the word accident.
Yeah, there's no such thing as an accident. That's right. what I'm saying. If somebody gets hurt, you got EJ's in here telling me, hey, they died. Well, right. So what are you going to do? Every time somebody dies, you're going to prosecute somebody.
You said if there's a victim. As long as there's a victim.
I agree.
Okay, you want to prosecute a woman who made a joke, who was playing a joke, but you think the guy, he didn't mean to kill these people. I mean, yeah, he didn't kill them. He didn't shoot them. But he caused the action which caused their death.
Well, they don't. The thing
no
is, I know that when I've seen when I was listening to those tapes, it has to do with if the person doing whatever it is they're doing has a reasonable expectation that harm will occur.
Right.
That then you're in trouble.
Yeah, and that is a.
And of course, if you're putting Ex-Lax in cookies, you have a reasonable expectation that something's going to happen.
If you ignite pyrotechnics, which you know fire
feet
into the air,
he's done it 30 times before and never had a problem.
300 times before.
300 times and never in a million years expected that it would happen. Surprise to him as much as anybody else.
And his life is ruined as well. Think about it. You think a year in prison is going to change the fact that he's responsible for the death of 100 people?
Granted, going to a great white show is a crime in my estimation anyways, but
hey.
I'm just kidding.
I love you.
We like you, Jenny.
No, that's Warrant.
Oh, sorry.
Uh-oh. Shows you how much I know. Jimmy does. Jimmy doesn't know anything about that.
Great White was a fellow kind of band. Back when we were playing out in L.A., they were in the same exact kind of vein of music that we were doing.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I do find interesting that people hit the Jimmy Doan website looking for songs that Lather used to do.
Yeah.
So. To answer your question, EJ, there are two different levels. If you don't have a victim, you don't have a crime. And if you don't have criminal intent, you don't have a crime. You need both. You need an act plus intent plus a victim. That was the old thing that you needed to have a crime.
Yeah, but now you don't have to have a victim anymore.
No, you don't have to have a victim and you don't have to have intent. You can be walking along. You can be out there not trying to hurt anybody and have nobody get hurt and still go to prison.
You accidentally
Trust
step
me.
On them.
Right. No, and I know
Picture
that.
Get your wing fly.
Well, I think, yeah.
Exactly. I
but
see
I think,
it.
I think it's that brings up another thing that you see on the crime shows all the time. The wife comes in, or let's say the wife calls 911 and says, I've been beat up by my husband. And the cops show up, and she says, nah, forget it. It was a misunderstanding. And then you see, very often, you'll see the prosecutor says, well, it's out of your hands now. The state is going to go ahead.
Why don't you call the cops? I learned that the hard way.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, and that is, I mean, how can they do that?
Well, yeah.
I mean, the victim recants and says, I'm not a victim.
They bamboozled it through at one point and said that we don't need this girl's permission and we're going to save a bunch of people's lives because what it is battered women don't come forward. They generalized the exceptions into the rule.
Right.
And said, because they don't come forward, we're going to go ahead and prosecute all of them no matter what. And I can't tell you how many people that I've had in my office, the victim, screaming at me, please get my husband, wife out of jail. I want them out of jail. It was a big misunderstanding. Wife. Yeah, the husband wife. It was like a baby daddy. And,
well, you didn't get that.
And they were screaming to get him out of jail because they were,
get my man wife out now.
Right.
And because it was a big misunderstanding.
I'm back here today.
That's right.
And I tell
him,
no way.
And I tell him, just wait, it'll be a few weeks and they'll be out.
Yeah. You just wait a few weeks.
Just wait a few years.
He's getting his sex in there.
Of course,
anyway.
He can't come.
That's what he's worried about is the
extramarital
disease. Extramarital and disease transfer.
And I won't even tell you what Department of Children and Families does.
Oh, those God.
People.
No, those people.
We're going to do a show on that at some point.
Yeah, we are going to know that.
You're all sick!
Yeah. When did he get here? I love that guy.
No, Homer's the best.
He drops in occasionally.
Yeah, he drops. He has everything to say. Well, anyway, should we move on? Are you done with your legal stuff?
I'm done.
I think it's good. We need to have those legal updates because I see that stuff come down the pike all the time and it's fat. Well,
the noose
is tightening in this country. That's one of the things
I see it as is already tightened.
Well, it is. That's one of the
I'm
things
ready to go to. I mean, you talk about Mexicans wanting to go over here. I'm ready to go to Cosmo.
Well, the little minor problem, of course, you have in Mexico, in case somebody sent me an email that what's illegal if you go to Mexico and you sneak across the border, raise an American flag and march, and if you go to jail in Mexico, I mean, you go to jail that instant. I mean, you talk. What
if, is it a nice jail?
You bet.
And the water? Oh,
they
my
said,
God.
They it's said glacier. If the law was, if the United States law was like Mexican law, I mean, it would be, it's draconian. And of course, that's what somebody said. They wanted to have draconian measures. People don't realize what Dracus, you know, the emperor, I mean, it was death penalty for everything.
And isn't that where they got decimate from? Wasn't he the guy who killed 1 in 10?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's so people, draconian means something. I'll tell you, that's what, when we saw in Larry King, saw that guy standing on the border, he was the, getting ready to pick off the 1 in 10, I guess.
It was Edward James Olmos he had as a guest. They had Miami Vice out there taking care of it.
Ah, there we go. That's good. And then they had the Babe. They had the Babe on there, too. The award-winning Babe.
What, like a lure?
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
She like walks up. Come on.
They had some. I think they had some.
Right.
Some Latino actress on there too, or something. As you know, to
she was a talk show host.
Okay, whatever. Close enough. Okay. Anyway, moving on. We're gonna move on to the oil stuff.
I said Baker.
We're gonna move on a little bit onto the oil stuff here, real quick. Here, there's been a lot of articles in the last week about oil, and of course, I find the oil price. In case anybody's interested. At least here locally, the prices of the gasoline price dropped about by a nickel. They're well under $3
ooh,
now.
Yeah,
well,
ooh.
My point is that everybody was talking about it's the end of the world, and people don't realize that in England, which is fairly kind of an industrialized country.
Hello.
Yeah, I say they're paying $6 and have been, and we're paying $3, and everybody's talking about the end of the world. And one of the things
Jeff pays $8 in Norway.
But the what's happening, of course, is the lefties down there, the socialists, the real socialists, the real commie socialists down there, Morales and the other guys.
Chavez.
They're taking over the oil refineries, and I thought it was interesting. They're dissolving contracts, you know, unilaterally.
Stealing money, you mean?
Yeah, hard to believe. This week, the oil company PDSA, whatever, took over operations of the two oil fields operated by France's Total and Italy's, well, because they refused to accept the profit-sharing contracts. You know, I mean, I love this. Here's your new contract, man. And
let's
look
make
like
him an offer he can't refuse.
Well, that's right.
Yeah. Making an offer he can't accept.
Yes. That's right. So they've done that, and of course, one of the things...
That's perfect.
One of the things it says in the long run, the article says in the long run, the Venezuelan economy is likely to suffer far more than the oil companies as a result of Chavez's demands, and that's true.
Is this like the Great Leap in China?
Yeah, exactly. These guys, and of course, they don't understand. Again, they're going to find out. They don't understand that socialism has been proven socially.
Time and time again.
Has worked.
This is
never.
The new Mao. I mean, Morales socialism.
That's right. The new Maoist morality. Exactly right.
Moral Morales.
Well, the thing that is fascinating is, as anybody knows, the reason that we have increases in oil reserves, they've been projected to run out of oil since 1930, since the 30s.
Right.
Every year they've come in and said, we're running out now. And of course, what's happened
peak
is
oil, peak
this,
oil.
Time,
peak oil,
this
sure.
time we're sure. Literally for 80 years, they were 70 years, they've been saying we're going to run out of oil. The oil reserves, the proven oil reserves today are the highest they've ever been. One of the reasons is because oil that was previously not recoverable is now recoverable with new, branding new, high-tech technology.
Come on,
yes,
man.
True. Now, the thing about it
damn
is...
Damn technology.
That's damn technology. That's right. It'd the thing about it is who is doing the technology? I can tell you right now, it's not the oil field workers in Venezuela. And if these guys, if Citgo and, not Citgo, but if Total and FINA and the other, Enron and those people, not Enron, SO, whatever the, if they pull out, throw Chevron and those people pull their technology out, these oil fields are going to go dry, you know, a lot. I mean, without the technology, they're gonna lose. And it's just interesting.
Well, look, when you're stealing somebody else's money, you can buy technology from another company.
Well, so you say that. Well,
I say that, and I know that.
It's actually the same thing. That's what he did, was he got them to invest a bunch of cash in
then
technology
stole it.
And then said, by the way, I'm not paying you back.
Yeah.
In fact, thank you for bringing that $500 million worth of equipment.
We're keeping your engineers.
Yeah, right. Well, they
thank
haven't done that.
Come again.
Thank you.
But I thought there's Mr. Morales. Here's an article from the New York Times. Mr. Morales was firm. There's no reason to indemnify them whatsoever. Means to pay him for the step we're taking. He said at a news conference in European, and this is the one in Vienna that's still going on, of European, Latin American, Caribbean, whatever it is, leaders. If we were to expropriate their technology or their assets, in that case, there would be talk of indemnifying. But this is not the case. I'm wondering, what are you talking about? If you send military into the fields and take over their stuff, I don't see how you can say that they're not expropriating their technology or assets. I mean,
they're going to give them a couple pennies to the dollar.
He says they're not going to indemnify. They're not going to give them any money. But if we were to march soldiers in there, which we're doing, then we would pay them. But I'm figuring something was lost in translation here. Anyway, they're also going to seize the agricultural land and redistribute it to the peasantry. And I'm wondering who's going to make that distribution. You know, you don't suppose there's going to be corruption there, do you?
No, of course not.
No. I mean,
this is corruption proof.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I love this. Ms. Morales, an Aymara Indian, says that the American-backed free market economic practices have failed to pull Bolivians out of poverty.
I mean, it's all American, man.
All the Bolivians that came to America are doing pretty good, probably, relative to back in Bolivia.
I would send in their billions out of it. Look, it's a new world border, man.
It is amazing how this kind of mentality, it is also in this country. Conyers is one of them. Supposed to be smart up there. Talking about the reparations for black people for centuries of
slavery,
exploitation.
That's called?
And here it is. Ms. Morales attracted intense attention on the summit meeting's first day as he sought to persuade Europe that the nationalizations were a reasonable and just response to centuries of exploitation, above all of indigenous people, by foreigners. I mean, this is, it's amazing how what goes around comes around.
Those damn imperialists.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's phenomenal to me.
You know what makes you get, you know, Morales, Chavez, Fox, have these guys ever gone hungry?
None of them
have. Are they going hungry now? But their peasants are. And it's my fault.
They're going to stay hungry. Well, the thing one of the things that is a little bit interesting is that, you know, Fox on this, we talked about this as far as the border is concerned. Fox is coming up against an election, and of course, there's the rampant corruption in Central and South America is legion. I mean, everybody knows about it. One of the reasons they don't stay there, of course, is look, if those guys can come up here and get a job, they could get a job down there if the economy in Mexico and those other countries was truly free. I mean, it wouldn't be a problem. There's no difference. You just have to be able to start a company without having it run by some mafia government people. So, I mean, socialism doesn't work, and the people are voting with their feet by coming to the United States.
Right.
And so the United States is going to put armed people on the borders and shoot them as they come in. For our entertainment. Well, you know,
the
Coast Guard already does that, as you know.
Right.
That was the thing with Alien Gonzalez. You know, his mother and uncle and everybody or whoever was died. Coast Guard goes out there and, you know, blasts the boat apart.
Unbelievable.
No, we'll kill you if you want to get into this country.
The Coast Guard was responsible for that particular thing.
They do sink boats.
Yep.
And
we want freedom. Oh, free this.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh. And the big howitzer on the deck. Look at EJ cringing over there. He's thinking about his old 13 Bravo days.
Oh, man.
One of the things that I remember when I was growing up, there was a little, not a fairy tale, Grimm's Grimes fairy tale. whatever it is. And it, but do you remember Henny Penny? Which is the one? Yeah, Henny Penny was the one who said, who will help me plant the corn? Who will help me do this stuff and so forth to make bread, I guess, or wheat or whatever.
Yeah, we're
it was.
Young people. We don't hear.
Okay,
we
well, there
know.
Was. There was.
For, you didn't share those as we were swimming,
Jimmy. I'm going to tell you.
You shared those stories. You ripped from Playboy, you know? I mean, that's what I remember.
Henny Penny was a chicken, and what Henny Penny did was to go out and say, who will help me plant the corn or the bread or wheat or whatever it was? And everybody... Right. And everybody, although the barnyard animal said, nah, we're not going to do it. And she comes up and says, well, now who will help me hoe the ground or whatever it is? Don't get any on hose. I don't need this now.
Okay.
And who will help me, you know, weed it or whatever it is? And on about six or seven different things. Finally, you know, who will help me gather it all up? And who will help me bake the bread? And nobody. And now who will help me eat the bread? And, of course, everybody joins up and says, oh, well, I'll help you eat the bread. And she says, no, forget it. You didn't do any of the other stuff. Well, of course, down here in Latin America, the international companies have all gone in and done all the
exploration, work, the exploration, building of the building, infrastructure.
The infrastructure, the whole nine yards. They've done all the Henny Penny stuff. But now when it comes time to eat it, old Morales and these guys show up and they take it away from Henny Penny. I mean, it's kind of a... That's right. No, I mean, they sent
soldiers in.
Look, here's the deal. It is one of these classic things, and I love it when Stefan Molyneux said, when there's a gun in the room, people don't realize. If you send soldiers...
Well, wait, what does he say?
He says a lot of times when you go down to a city commission meeting or something and they're ruling and they're talking about different things, and here you are a citizen and you walk in, and there is a metaphorical gun in the room. That is to say, the commissioners have the power, the police power of the state behind them. If they disagree with you, ultimately they can send a sheriff out there. So there is a metaphorical or virtual, whatever you want to call it, gun in the room. And who has the gun, you want to ask? Well, it's those guys. So anytime you're carrying a gun, the only reason you ever carry a gun, you don't bluff with guns. I'm sorry, I would never carry a gun. I would never point a gun at anybody unless I honestly intended to use it. There's no bluffing. There's no crying in baseball. No, right. there's no bluffing with guns. And when we saw Larry King, we saw the guy standing on the border with a gun. What has he got it there for? His nose? No.
I mean, balance, you know? You got a heavy helmet, so. Heavy no. boots, you need the gun.
And so when Morales
he's trained
says,
to arrest by constitutional standards, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
He's trained to shoot.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's right. He's trained to arrest. He's trained to threaten by constitutional standards. That's right. Here, I'm holding up this gun. Look at it. No, I mean, when Morales and Chavez and those guys send the military into the fields to take it over, I mean, it's not a polite request. They're going to kill you if you say no. That they're carrying a gun for a reason. Okay, so they declared foreign-owned assets property of the state, so they're not foreign-owned anymore. I like that. And as voters, and of course it's all about as voters, the voters are going to get a lesson. I love this. This is a classic case of be careful what you wish for, and they're going to find out. I mean, all of recorded history is replete with exactly what happens every single time. So I'm begging if you people in the NSA up there are listening to me and you want to pass this along to the Congress or whatever it is, just stay out of it. The whole thing's going to collapse on its own. The market will figure it all out. So that's it. And I'm not worried about it, oil. And I'll tell you, the oil price, they're talking about this summer that the gasoline price is going to go up. One of the things that I find interesting when I was watching C-SPAN or one of these things, one of the Olympia Snow or one of these liberal, super liberal people in Congress was saying, well, what we need to do is we need George. It's George Bush's fault, of course. What we need to do is to bring down the price of gasoline. And I'm thinking, okay, you bring down the price to help this poor guy, but that is going to increase our dependence, quote-unquote, on foreign oil. People don't understand that the amount of money that transfers hands in gasoline is the same no matter what the price is. That is, if the usage of gasoline might go down if gasoline was $10 a gallon, but the amount of money spent on gasoline as a percentage of GNP would stay the same. And it happens if, I'm telling you right now, if gasoline went to 50 cents a gallon for one reason or another, all that would happen is people would be driving, you know,
to their mailbox.
They would drive. No, they
drive
would
drive to the. They would no, drive to the end of the driveway.
They would no. They would do. They would be out there towing their Humvee with their other Humvee and putting it in their RV 1 mile an hour gallon motorhome.
Right.
And all that would happen is that gasoline usage would go through. The amount of money spent on gasoline would be the same. Absolutely. So they're talking about these poor people that have to commute 50 miles a day or whatever it is. Well, you know, whose fault? It's not my fault. You know, one of the things that I remember when I was working over there in the computer store, wasn't going to move. I was 4 minutes from my house. I mean, and I did it on purpose. Mm-hmm. And I paid extra for it. Mm-hmm. So you either pay for the house or you pay on a daily basis in your gasoline. That's the choice you have to make.
Well, let me ask you a question, Jimmy. If you have this price of gas going up and you still have the same amount of money being spent on fuel,
right,
you will have less driving. Wouldn't
right.
you agree?
That, right.
So
and less pollution.
And less pollution, road repair.
Less travel.
Right.
Less purchasing.
Right.
Less tourism.
Well,
just
no,
I want to make that clear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Less tourism. Yeah.
So less money being spread around.
Well, no. The money's going to get spread around the same.
Yeah, no, it's going to go to... No. It's not going to be spread around. It's going to go to a couple of places.
Like what?
Well, to the people who are charging $10 a gallon.
Well, no, if the same amount of... Okay, and what are they going to do with it?
I think they stick it in their mattress or shove it up their ass or something. No. I'm not quite sure.
Well, I'm not sure about shoving it up their ass, but I can tell you, here, one of the things that everybody, and this is the elephant in the room here, anybody will tell you, and I can tell you this because I have CVX shares. I own... So and they pay a nice dividend. Their gross profit or net profit, excuse me, is around 8%, which if you on $3 gasoline is 24 cents. The taxes, talking about windfall profits, the combined taxes are 48 cents down here in Florida.
Right.
It's twice.
So the government's getting twice.
Twice what the profits are.
The governments get twice what the profits are. I mean, I'm saying who's profiting here? I got a newsflash for you. You know, and these guys, it reminds me a little bit of the tobacco settlement. You don't want anybody to smoke. This is this thing like in Nigeria or Kenya or whatever it was.
Right. Kenya.
Yeah, they passed a law against all smoking in Kenya. Good luck on that.
Right.
But I mean, but it turns out that they get money from the taxes. You can't have it both ways. You know, if you cut out smoking, Florida go broke. I mean, that's it. You tear down the Capitol building, everybody go home.
Tear down the Capitol building.
Sell it off to Disney or something.
Sell it all. Sell the marble. I'd buy it.
And also, don't be fooled that they put anything in their mattresses. They put it in a bank, which transfers back to the United States.
Yeah. Well, even if they did put it in their mattresses, think about it for a second. If they did, it would just mean that the total amount of money available to spend on things in the United States would be less. Ergo, the price of everything would be less. That'd be a deflationary. That'd be a deflationary item. But anyway, Welcome to Not Idiots. What they do is they take that, and they're the ones that invest in the new technology. So a lot of people don't realize that when the early oil wells in Oklahoma and Pennsylvania and all those places, the stripper wells out in Texas, you recover like 30% of the oil, or it's some stupid little number. It's like 20 or 30% of the oil before the well runs out on its own. After that, it's technology that brings the rest of it out. And I think the most fantastic, most well-managed well in the world, you know, maybe produces 50 or 60. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, send me a letter, but I think it's 50 or 60%. There's still a bunch down there, even with the hot steam, melted all down, whatever it is, you know, even if it costs you $10 a gallon to pull it out of there, there's still 40% of it down there. And at some price, you can get it out.
You can genetically engineer some more dinosaurs and shove them down in there so they can pump that oil back up.
Yeah, they've got the...
Displace the oil, push it up. I like it.
Right.
The problem is that, you know, it's carbon. And of course, the next thing you know, you'd end up with a bunch of damn diamonds and you can't do anything with them. You know,
Beers has enough, more than
well,
all
the
of
thing
us
about
need.
It, of course, the thing about it, what we're talking about here is one of the things that is interesting. What we're really talking about here is energy. I mean, it's all energy. If you could find energy from
another source. Aha! And we have that
and
source.
And we have, in fact, I am looking here. Right here, I am looking.
Nuclear.
It's nuclear. Well, of course, that's right. Nuclear. But I did notice it's power up with magnetic bacteria. And I think
that's the coolest thing I've seen.
Did we talk about this?
No. Not too.
Okay, this is
lay it out.
A 16-year-old high school kid has invented a new way of producing electricity by harnessing the power, brawny power of bacteria. Of course, the guy's, I can't pronounce his name, he's from India or somewhere, Pakistan, a Kartik Madhurite, 11th grader from Montreal, was able to generate about half the voltage of a normal AA battery with a fifth of an ounce of naturally occurring magnetic bacteria, and the bacteria kept pumping current for 48 hours nonstop. I'm not going to go into the whole article, you can get this off of Wired News, and it was the 12th. So this a couple days ago as we read this. But my point is this.
We put one electrode at one side of the Everglades and one electrode at the other side of the Everglades and dump a bunch of these bacteria in there.
In the middle.
And then they would shoot a bunch of alligators so they can feed. And then we got it in power for the whole world.
That's it. Done.
Right.
They swim around.
I mean, that's it. That is the end of it. That's it. I mean, we're done. You know, you run out.
We solved the energy crisis
now. No, we just did.
All right,
no,
seriously.
George, we got your answer.
How much energy is that really going to be able to make out of that? I mean, is this a novelty thing?
Check it out. It's
quite a bit. It is amazing. It has to
It's a fifth of an ounce. It's a little tiny amount. did half the current of a AA battery for 48 hours.
And how long does a AA run?
Yeah, a couple
five
years.
Doesn't run no 48 hours. I can
what?
Tell you that.
AA battery runs for a couple years, something.
Right. Let me tell you something. You'd be surprised what you can do with energy conservation if you don't use any. I mean,
like the clock ticking, it just uses it when it clicks from click to click. It doesn't use it the whole time.
It depends on the clock. But
I would say if we shut off all the electricity in the United States, stopped all the cars, and everybody just that our energy usage would go down substantially. No, all anyway, right. But my point is, I mean, you have to read the article. It actually is quite a bit, and it has to do with the simple fact that, as you know, if you rotate a magnet in a field or whatever, the electricity is generated. I mean, that's the way motors work. That's the way drills work and everything. But my point is that the beauty of this is there's two things to consider. One is, you know, Noonan's Lake out here. Throw the bacteria in there, put an electrode around it, you're done. You know, that's Gainesville.
So do the bacteria, like, eat human flesh or anything? Or
who cares if it's in Noonan's Lake?
Right.
And of course, we breed alligators and feed it to the bacteria. Right. That's if we got that. And this guy, Musanawi or whatever it is, you know, we put him in there. That's where he does his
life sentence. I'm telling you, you got a short term this
no,
time.
No, that's right. I'm saying if you, this is the way to
you
do it.
You will be horribly
What we do is we throw the alligators in there to eat the humans as the execution thing. Right. And then the alligators get eat up by the bacteria, and we have electricity. I mean, it's a perfect thing to me.
Right.
It's like Soylent Green or whatever it is, only that was food.
Soylent Green.
No, but the thing about it is, the thing about this particular article from this guy in Montreal, 16-year-old high school student, he came in third.
What was first and second?
I think Nobel Prize.
Nobel Prize. This, think about it. The guy's 16 years old. Here, by the time he's 20, he's like got a Nobel Prize. I mean, he's set
$1 million.
$1 million bucks. Well, yeah.
He's in the same ranks as Einstein. Get a job, probably.
You think?
What was one and two?
One.
No,
we can get one at an oil company. I'd take that much.
No,
well, that's the thing. I mean, you think, well, maybe they'd off the guy, but it's like the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know,
You know, I was thinking about when you're one of the problems they're having down in the Everglades, of course, is people are releasing their pythons and stuff. So they're having a.
I've heard about that.
Yeah,
we talked about that.
Yeah, I know we did, but I'm saying we ought to scarf up a couple of these bacteria and release them down there, see what happens for hoots. Just for hoots. No, I mean, think about it.
They're probably endangered.
But they would. But think about it. You know, you could have an airboat. You know, with your electrodes on the side of the airboat to run the motor.
The cost is incalculable. Your thumbprint just killed 20,000 of them.
That's true. endangered.
We've lost the energy for our city. Oh no.
No. Well, as I said, I mean, I love this. This is magnetic bacteria demonstration placed third in the Canadian competition.
What was one and two?
That's what I want to know. I didn't find out.
Well, you think about it, an ounce of this stuff, you know, just doing some quick math, would generate 2.5 alkaline batteries, AAs, for 48 hours.
I'm telling you, people don't understand how the market is such a wonderful thing, and it will fix all this stuff out. I got two more things here that I got. One is, it says, as for obvious reasons, as you know, ethanol is one of the big deals. They want to put ethanol in the gas and so forth. And I don't know if you know this, but it costs more in energy, I think, when you use corn cobs to make ethanol. Of course, ADM has a hand in this. There's subsidies. We're paying for it one way or the other.
But they have the supermarket for the world.
Yeah, that's right. Mark, that's right. Sure. Good luck. The point is that without the subsidies, a lot of those ethanol factories wouldn't be worth it. But here's some people. Ethanol could provide up to 5% of all motor fuel used. And they said leafier plants. It makes sense. A leafier plant, that's a conversion from sunlight and so forth. That makes sense to me that it could do it. But of course, the first thing that happens is Congress wants to jump in it and provide subsidies and incentives. And I'm thinking about here locally, we have bus subsidies. And people don't understand what the real cost on so much of this stuff is. I remember my uncle when he was in Washington, D.C. and taking the Metro, and he wrote me a letter, and he kept thanking me because every time he paid $1 for a subway ride, it actually cost $4. And of course, the federal tax, I was picking up the balance. Here locally, the buses cost $1 or whatever it is, and it's about $4 a ride. I mean, we're picking up. I mean, it actually costs $4 for somebody to get on and off these buses. And so when you talk about subsidies, it's the final cost of so many of these things. And it is all too often that people only look at what they perceive as coming out of their pocket.
But the smart government people know where to spend the money to stimulate the market.
That's true.
You have to trust the government.
Well, you do have to trust the government. Yeah. And
we have a quote for that.
We do.
The whole reason we have elected officials is so we don't have to think all the time.
Exactly.
Though the final cost, what I'm saying is that the final cost, you have to take into account all expenses, and many are unseen, and what are the alternatives, and the market figures all this stuff out. Because in the beauty of the market is none of these costs are unseen. Yet, and with Congress, of course, when they pass laws or subsidies and so forth, they're all unseen. They're all unseen. That's why unintended consequences always show up, because the market discovers these consequences that were unintended, because the market is bigger. It's hard to believe bigger than Congress.
But the value of the energy could be incalculable.
That's true. And then
it's endangered. Hey, I just found out what the second place was for that Canadian science fair.
Yeah,
it was the son of two men, his father's parents, and he came up with a mint flavored enema.
And first place was the papier-mâché volcano.
I don't know who came in first, but I just know that this kid came up with that. So.
Now, if you had a gallon of those bacteria, that'd be 320 AA batteries for 48 hours. Just a gallon.
Math over there?
Well, I just
300.
Of course, you hear the when they're throbbing.
Well, they glow. Maybe they glow in the dark.
They glow in the dark, and
we won't even need light bulbs.
Loose.
Right.
That's my concern.
That's it. And then they get. It's like remember that Star Trek where they had the little nano whatever was it?
Little organisms that
eat up the computer and everything in the spaceship.
When Wesley got the stuff.
Yes.
That was the one.
So anyway, now we have
Crusher. Wesley.
I want to kill Wesley. I know.
Wesley.
Well, he evolved into a new life form, remember?
Yeah, that's well. He should have evolved a long time ago.
Well, you didn't like Wesley. He was smart.
Wesley.
There we go. He just devolved.
But his mama was cute. Her mama was hot. I thought she was kind of
whiny.
Well, yeah, shoot him again just for the.
Make sure he's paying.
That's right.
Let's all move. Oh, wait a minute. Get him in a foot so he can't get away.
There we go.
Okay, how much? I want to finish one more thing. An article this is from Wired. This is from today, the 15th. Warm watts for wireless. It turns out that a tiny new generator that produces electricity from small variations in temperature could turn people into power packs for medical implants and clear the way for complex wireless monitoring systems.
That's the Matrix.
Yeah, exactly. This is the singularity. Remember, we talked about Kurzweil before, and everybody's evolving into nano whatever it is.
Kurzweil.
Ray Kurzweil, right? And this is the age of spiritual machines,
right? Must read, listen.
At least get the tapes.
Yeah,
you can get those on eBay or Amazon or whatever. You've got to get those. And because the book is a little heavy for some people.
It's slightly dry. Very interesting.
But the tape is great. The tape is really good.
Who does the reading of the tape?
What now?
Unfortunately, the tape sounds like Art Bell or somebody did it. I mean, it's all this.
It's Alan Sklar.
Well, whatever. Anyway,
it sounds great.
Well, I don't. It sounds too mysterious for me. It sounds like something that you don't believe. You know, space aliens and nobody.
I've listened to that tape series literally 150 to 200 times.
And you've got a life.
Hey.
That's right. So anyway,
it's proof that I'm here.
So anyway, that's true.
Here's my life.
So anyway, the fact is that we can turn our bodies into this, and they're talking about doing Wi-Fi. So I mean, you can walk around and like communicate.
How many volts are you gonna get out of your body? Now, if you release some of these bacteria in your body,
we're getting along here. I like this. We're gonna find the solution yet.
Does it say voltage in there?
It says within the size range of a 1.55 volt watch battery. And companies pack 5,000 thermocouples, whatever it is, relatively high voltage for smaller and so forth. At a difference of 5 degrees Celsius, the generator produces 3.1 volts at 36 microamps, yielding 110 microwatts.
That's pretty small.
But it's enough to run a pacemaker?
A hearing aid?
Yeah, right. That's what they're talking about. And of course,
A watch, right.
Hey, a batteryless watch.
Yeah.
That's right. So power is not a problem. And I say raise the price of oil. Let Chavez and what's his name, Morales, take it over. The Chileans and the Mexicans and everything.
I'd say all
let them have it. We don't need
all
it.
All hail the 16-year-old Indian kid.
That's right. Was he 16 or 14?
16. I don't know.
He was 16. You're right.
16-year-old
high school. That's right. All hail.
All hail.
Sound effects with
hey. Hold on. I got one of those.
Oh, there we go.
There we go.
Okay, good.
What else you got?
I was going to do education, but it's not any big deal.
Well, let's do it.
Okay, we got to do it real quick then, because
that's
I don't want this to go.
I haven't been talking all night.
I have. But that's why they call it the Jimmy Dolan Show. I thought it was so funny to see this. The education system, in case people haven't been listening to this broadcast preview, the education system in the United States is broken. It's broken beyond repair. There is no way you can fix it. I've watched the our school board locally. There's one or two smart people on it. The rest of them are like so hack you cannot imagine. They have no idea. They're totally clueless. I mean, you talk about clueless. These people don't understand why there's a 30% failure rate. The whole system is just totally
broken. The teachers were taught in the education system, which was broken.
Well, it's what I call the indoctrination system. This is, they can indoctrinate the kids. They got a monopoly on it, for number one. They got the tag. You know, we were talking about the tag earlier, about the Panther tag. They got an education tag here. When you go to the health club, they have volunteers. Please leave pencils and notebooks for our students in the government-run schools. I mean, it's never enough, and they're spending two and three times what anybody in a private sector would do. They still get it. So here are the headlines. In two setbacks for exit exams taken, but this is California, but it still is the same here. A lot of it has to do here in Florida, the same thing. It turns out two setbacks for exit exams taken by high school seniors. It turns out that a lot of kids, they have like six chances to take an exam to prove that they made it through high school in order to get a diploma. Well, about 30% of them ain't making it. And so they're not getting a diploma. And this doesn't count, of course, the kids that dropped out and aren't going to get a diploma, because there's about 30% dropout rate as well.
And then you don't get a driver's license.
Really?
Yeah, if you don't graduate high school, you don't get a driver's license.
That's right.
You're kidding.
No, that was a new one that they threw in a few years ago.
Yeah, until you're 18.
Until you're 18. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. But you're required by shotgun federal SWAT team law to stay until you're 16, right? Here in Florida. So anyway, so a lot of kids, you know, that's about the 10th grade, they split. You know, go get a job at McDonald's or whatever and start to make a real living. And then they work out to be manager by the time their kids graduate, and they're making $200,000 a year or their talk show host.
Okay. And then they come back to their McDonald's and they lose their mind.
Or they go postal in McDonald's.
Exactly. Yeah, they go postal in there.
So anyway, the deal is that a judge out of the 1.1 million or however many there are in California that are graduating, a judge has ruled that the exit exams, throw them out, they still get their diploma. Doesn't matter. We don't care. We don't care how stupid they are. Doesn't care if they can't speak English, can't balance their checkbook, can't add, can't subtract. They still
can't read a stop sign.
If they were there in the school system in a 12th grade class, they get a diploma.
Sure. That's fair.
Yeah, that's fair, right?
I was waiting to hear on the ruling, and that's it. It came down.
I'm certainly against the exit exam, I can tell you that.
No, I am too, but I mean, but it was interesting. It turns out that the law was passed in 1999 and was only supposed to take effect this year. So they had 6 years to make sure that it was all okay, and they still didn't make it. So the thing about it is it's a one-size-fits-all. I mean, I can understand there are some kids, I'm sure, that are really bright. Just because you get a 4.0 average, of course, you could be in the worst school in the world, and you have a 60 IQ and could probably have a 4.0 average in some schools.
And still be smarter than a couple of your teachers.
And still be and not pass the exit exam. Or you could be extremely bright, have a 3.5 average, but for some reason you are dyslexic or even in spite of the fact, and you still don't pass it or whatever the deal is. But the exam doesn't take any of that into account. Although I did talk.
You're unworthy of further school if you can't take this, if you can't pass this exam.
Right. You're unworthy of, I'm unworthy. Right. Exactly. So it's just fascinating to me to see how they do this sort of thing. And again, it has to do with the fact that the system is broken.
Consistently, our politicians sit down in public schools to take these tests.
Well, we call them government-run indoctrination facilities.
Whatever they are. And consistently, these politicians fail the exams that are being administered to the
The problem is, of course, it is mercantilist, it's like the old 16th century guild system. In order to be able to teach, they say they can't find qualified teachers. And this has to do with this next thing. It says here, the feds, in the No Child Left Behind thing, the feds give all 50 states an F in meeting the No Child Left Behind, which has been in effect for 4 years. That is it. You have 50 out of 50.
Now, is it F for fantastic?
No.
You tried your best, and you failed miserably. The lesson is, never try.
That's exactly right.
Thanks, Homer.
But nine states, along with the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico, face penalties. I don't know, you know, they're going to withdraw the money because they're failing, so they're going to take away their money, which actually might be a good thing.
There are degrees of failure, you know, you have...
Well, they want a highly qualified teacher in every class. And one of the qualifications for a teacher, of course, is you have to have a degree in education or whatever it is on a lot of this stuff, which doesn't guarantee you anything, and there's subjective things that are they try and grade objectively, and they fail in that.
Well, and that's the whole point, is that when you try to have a national education system, you're trying to teach every kid in the entire country the same stuff.
Yeah.
Don't we want, if we have 300 million kids, for them to learn a diversity of things?
Well, the population is 300 million, so we're talking about 20 or 30, whatever the thing is, 20 or 30 million kids in the school system, so let's say. Yeah, we do, and of course this has to do, what people talk about are two things that are always gripe me a lot. One is the level playing field, which I think is a joke. There is no such thing, and it's never going to happen. Doesn't happen in real life, and it's just not going to happen.
Doesn't happen in nature. Why should it happen?
Exactly. We have some things called mountains and hills and valleys and in nature, and I'll tell you, we have them in life too. This level playing field is absolutely, you know, out of the question. And the other thing is, they talk about the great melting pot, which is a little side thing here, but we're not a melting pot. That's the homogeneous, that's what they want to do in the school system. They want to make everybody exactly the same, homogeneous, like some bland, you know, stew. No, they want to make this bland pudding like Wheatina, unflavored something. But we're more like a stew with, you know, lumpy potatoes and carrots and onions
different
and mushrooms.
Different kinds of meat, venison,
everything
foie gras.
That's what foie gras we do. Unless you're in Chicago, right. Did we say that last time?
No.
That could be the light note. So anyway, the point is that these guys are... It is not surprising to me that all 50 states fail, but I mean, that's a pretty high failure rate. 100% failure rate. I mean, if you're going to do anything.
You think that's high? Yeah. I used to strive for 100%. I think that's perfect.
One of the things you have to understand about this is one of the reasons that they only had 4 years to put all this together. One of the reasons that they failed was because in some cases the paperwork wasn't correct. I mean, if that isn't a typical government thing, the paperwork wasn't filled out right. And of course, in spite of all this, most states give themselves good grades on teacher quality. And of course, I've seen
this.
We
gave ourselves an A.
Yeah, right. We didn't. Well, the thing about it is one of the, again, this has to do with one size fits all. One of the things that they do, they require that the teacher be proficient in the subject they're teaching.
Come on,
Dave, man.
No, except when you realize that there are still some places in the United States where they have the one-room schoolhouse where they teach maybe a couple of different grades or something like, well, the teacher is supposed to be proficient. Of course, she's not. She's
supposed to have a bachelor's degree in math, English, history, geography.
Sociology. And
language arts.
That's right. Psychology and nursing and principality. Right, exactly.
And music.
And music, right. Arts, that's right. And doesn't have it. So she's missing one. And so she's not qualified. F, right. F, so whatever. But it's always for the children. And that doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah, that was even one of the things they said on that Kenya smoking ban. This is going to benefit people, especially the youth.
Right.
Think of the children.
It doesn't matter. I'm sure that this today, by the way, midnight tonight was the final time to sign up for the Medicare thing. You know, they're talking about that all day today. But I'm sure that's for the children too.
Oh well, in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's no question.
Because the old people take care of the kids.
It's always for the children.
If you refuse to sign up to save money, you're penalized.
The whole thing is a nightmare. I mean, again, it's socialism at work. They're trying to convince you that the socialist system is not really socialist, and it is. I mean, here's the deal.
They get all those red commies out of the government when they were trying back in the Hoover days or whatever.
Well, that's right. They didn't.
No,
that
they
was
didn't.
That's right.
They let Lucille Ball go, and the whole country went to hell.
That's right. Just because she had red hair didn't mean she's
red hair. I heard red herring. I always get those confused.
again, we're talking about schools. In New York, they've banned, in New York City,
cell phones.
Total ban. 1.1 million students.
All of them with cell phones.
All of them. Well, damn sure. Well, they have banned beepers and other communication devices since the late 1980s. But most schools have obviously said, you know, if we don't, you know, no, don't tell, don't talk or whatever it is. Don't do, don't talk, don't say, whatever it is, you know.
Don't look, don't see.
Yeah, out of sight, out of trouble. Then late month, the city officials began, that's what I like about this. The city officials began sending portable metal detectors every day to a random but small set of schools to keep out weapons. and the detectors have led to the confiscation of hundreds of cell phones. I mean, think about it. What kind of a school system do you have to have where you put randomly do metal? It's random drug testing, and now random metal detectors to check for weapons. Right. I mean, is there something wrong with the school system?
No, no, there's no problem whatsoever.
That's where you go get your kids' weapons.
Exactly. No, but you buy them from the teacher because they don't get tested.
But they also ban other electronic devices such as iPods.
We don't want these students using electronics to communicate.
To listen to the Jimmy Don't Show.
That's kind of complicated for me, so I don't want them talking on the show.
The market system, of course, is at work because some students leave their phones at nearby stores that charge small holding fees.
No way.
Yes.
I love this. No, you can. This is. Do you remember in Japan?
I love America.
The markets, the motels are not motels, but if you want to sleep, you know they have those little cubby things.
The drawers.
Yeah, right. Well, now what they've got in the 7-Eleven, not instead of post office, you got a little tiny. You have a locker at school that's a big one, you know.
Right.
But at the 7-Eleven across the street,
your cell phone locker.
You got a cell phone locker that's like 2 inches by 2 inches, and it rents for like $1 a day.
Well, it's
got
to be about 6 by 6. You can put your gun in there.
That's true. That's right. Well, yeah.
And your drugs.
No, those they charge extra.
So
for
about
those.
2 feet by 2 feet to put your drugs in.
That's right. Put your doobies in those. No, but the thing is that. So students insist that most classmates use their cell phones responsibly, and they brush off criticism that previous generations got along fine without them. Of course, this is what I like. The old people say, well, previous generations got along fine without. I'm thinking, well, tell your parents previous generations got along fine without cars, and electricity, and bathrooms.
Yeah.
You know, let's go. I mean, if you use that to its logical, you know, why use. My name's Dr. Luddite. I've decided that we're going to go back and, you know, go live like the Indians did, except we're not even going to cut a stone to make a point on the arrow.
No, that's technology.
No, that's
technology.
That's
away jobs.
Too much.
I mean, as I say, we got along fine without TVs, cars, calculators, got along fine without Twinkies, but nobody's planning on putting a ban. Well, they are on the Twinkies.
Actually, they are.
Yeah, that's
in
right.
In Chicago.
Twinkie tag.
In Chicago. Well, talk about that's right. So I'm done with the education. Don't let me finish. That's a good thing. They're banning foie gras in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, I can't believe it.
Ooh, no, you're bad. The gourmet cook
that's
person.
I mean, that's my favorite food.
Oh, I love foie. Well, not only foie gras. I've been to
what's a foie gras?
That
goose
is
liver.
That is goose liver. And I
boy, I can't wait to try that.
You don't like goose. You can't. You have
it's
not
nasty,
tasted liver
man.
Until
it's,
you.
It's, it
I'm
going to
go
so
with
good.
Counselor
it's
Curtis on
from
this.
The planet Hideon.
It's from the planet Hideon.
No, if you, now let me tell you
the
what
main,
you have not
I saw
lived.
The giant worms.
You
have
national
man,
dish of planet Hideon.
You have not lived until you go to France and have the actual liver, not foie gras, but the actual liver on your plate. They're about.
No,
they're like this. Nice, glassy, oval. They're so good. And
they cut out the artery, and we don't really even...
They throw the rest of the goose away, right?
Of course.
Right.
Well, you know how they... Now, the question is, why did Chicago, a city of, like, millions, ban... I mean, it's a criminal... Ban of food, right.
Left-wing,
and, of course, it's not like Chicago...
Tree-hugging, whale-saving, goose liver... I don't know.
Well, let me. The thing is, it's not like they don't eat meat in Chicago. You know,
right.
the slaughter capital of the world. It's not like they don't have liver.
Famous for their stockyards.
No, I mean, it's not like they don't have liver in Chicago. Think about it. I mean, you know, every pig or cow.
Yeah, there's no liver in sausage or hot dogs or any of those things that are famous up in Chicago.
No, but now they're going to ban foie gras. Why do you think?
Because they're idiots.
Silence descends over
they're
the Jimmy Don't Show.
They're idiots.
No, well, because
no
of the way they feed the goose.
What do you mean?
There was
they
a time
have to
in
force
France
feed the goose.
They force feed the
they
goose.
They shoved like a tube down the gullet and force fed it so the liver would explode and become huge and bulbous. And then they would kill the goose. And,
for the golden liver.
For the golden liver. Yeah, but I'm
for
thinking,
the golden liver.
They got this goose. He's getting nothing but fed. He doesn't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
He lives his life. And then he gives us liver. And that's like the best thing you could possibly do.
Well, the thing that's interesting is kind of like...
Can we have your liver?
Well, that's right.
Do I need it? Well, I'm using it.
I'm wondering if...
Not for long.
What about the Kobe beef? Don't they do the same thing with Kobe beef?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, they know.
Well, they keep them static
they
in the thing.
Them,
they don't let them walk around.
Right.
Same thing, chickens here, they keep them in these cages. You know,
per square meter or something.
Here in Florida, of course, here in our Constitution, law of the land has to do with pigs.
Yeah.
You do know that, right?
Yeah, that was a...
No.
No, we have in our Constitution.
It was a fluky thing.
Come on over
you
here,
You say
girl.
What you want, but the fact is that the pigs... are in the Constitution on an equivalent plane with Floridians, which, I mean, there may be some
justice in that. Yeah, as far as I'm concerned,
okay, we explain any of that. I mean, I don't understand what they
if it turns out that by the not by statute, but in the Constitution of the United States of America, in the Constitution of Florida, you cannot confine a pig to a cage
of a
certain size.
And what happened was the group wanted to pass the regulation. They figured it would be easier to get a constitutional limit.
Let me guess, there was some unintentional consequence that got passed?
Well, there's plenty. I know. I know some people who had some extra backyard that decided to put some pigs out there and stuff like that, but just for a joke, really. the point is, though, that unfortunately it's a little bit too easy to change the Florida Constitution.
Right.
And the voters amended our Constitution in such a way that it should have been done through a law.
Right. It should have been statute instead of Constitution.
If they wanted to do it at all. But so, my point is
what do they do?
It would have been a law. It's cruelty to pigs is what it was.
Right.
Okay. Cruelty
only
to pigs.
Only to pigs. Nothing else.
Right. Right. That's right. Exactly right. Only to pigs. Huh. And they got it through. I mean, basically, it's a cruelty to pigs law. You know, here locally, we have a leash law for, right. And we have a cruelty to goldfish law here.
So it wasn't like a type.
That's right. You can't have goldfish in a bowl.
You can't. That's in Italy. No, you can't display them. We talked about that. No, here you can't eat live goldfish.
So it wasn't like a thing when they were talking about like being mean to a police officer. We're talking about an actual.
No, that's right. We're not talking about the things that go down the Alaska pipeline.
Okay, right. Okay, yeah.
No, those are pigs too. But no, we're talking about the barnyard. Right,
okay.
A little curly tail, right? You know, Porky and the three little ones.
Right. Okay,
wolf,
great.
Wolf blows house down. Whatever.
So that's good news to me. Well, that's important because I was planning on putting a pig in a cage later after the show today. But
no, can't do it.
No,
that's
shoving a goose up his gullet.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, it's phenomenal to me. Can you? I mean,
my thought is, if we're going to eat it, I mean, how much fair treatment can you give the thing? You're going
you
to eat it. Say a prayer. Say a prayer.
But what gets me about the Chicago thing that's so phenomenal.
They're going to try to ban veal, too, aren't they?
Yes. They said they're working on that next because veal, of course, a young cow. Though the thing about that gets me is that they banned the sale of, I don't know if they banned the consumption of it. But the point is, what if they do the goose, or you know, gullet the goose or whatever it is in France and bring the foie gras over here? That's illegal if it's in Chicago. You can step over the line outside of the city limits of Chicago and have
all
the
foie gras shop.
Exactly. Right. And, of course, you can imagine that's what's going to happen.
Oh, there's no question.
No question. I mean, that would be...
I'm about to do it myself.
Well, or else you're going to have speakeasies. You know,
right.
You know, you have give them code word for...
That's the code word.
Well, yeah, right.
If God didn't want us to eat animals, how come they're made of meat?
You're exactly right. I mean, we have canine teeth. I don't know. It's well, there's a lot of people that, and God love the vegetarians, you know, for...
Hitler was a vegetarian.
Low protein gruel. Yeah, those are the happy
well,
people.
Well, I'm just saying that I can't believe that is, as an attorney, can they do that? In Chicago, I mean, can they pass a law
against a food?
Against a food like that, against serving a food like that?
Sure.
I mean, it's not. I mean,
that's law,
but I want to say
stick, right?
The question I ask is this: is it's not for the health and safety of the populace?
That's what they're saying. That's what they're going to say.
But it's not. I mean, there's nothing. There's nothing ever proven that foie gras will kill you.
Also, the traditional powers of the city extend to the health, safety, welfare, and morals of the community. So they'll probably hit you down on the morals and say that...
It's immoral to feed a goose this way.
It's immoral to treat the animals X way before
that is
hacking their head
off.
That's
unbelievable. I just... I am blown away by that. I mean, that is astounding to me. Yep. I don't know what else to say. I mean, Jimmy is speechless.
Time to move to Costa Rica.
Yeah, that's right. Well, don't worry. We're going to be that. Which reminds me, Chris, don't forget.
Chris.
Keep looking, buddy.
Looking for the land on the beach.
That's right. Okay, anything else?
I got light notes.
Light notes.
What else you got?
I'm done.
Nothing else, huh?
No, done.
Wow, shocking.
Well, I'm done. Done enough. No, I mean, seriously, what are we talking about? We've been here a couple of hours, for God's sake.
Yeah, but I saw that stack. It looked like you could have painted the ceiling with it.
Well, I'll...
Actually, you did clean up your desk. I can actually see part of the desk.
Yes, that's true.
That's pretty amazing.
Well, the feds want the hacker's genetic code. I did one. Didn't we talk about the genetic code?
We didn't.
We talked about it.
We didn't get teen screen ever either.
No, screen. I'm sorry. I want to apologize. Is it Mark that had that?
Houston.
Yeah, we're going to... I still want to do it. I've got it.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do it. And, nothing else. I got
nope.
Light notes.
Okay, go
light
quick.
Notes.
Light notes, quick.
Man arrested for drunken mower driving. Did you see that one?
Yep.
Well, you can be arrested here in Florida. I mean, in Gainesville, very easily for drunken bicycle riding.
Right.
How about this? Wheelchair.
Wheelchair. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I've seen a wheelchair DUI before.
Yep. No. Yep. Well, you got to figure. No.
What about rollerblades?
Well, let me tell you, the way I look at it is if you can rollerblade, right. you've passed the sobriety
yeah,
test.
Yeah, absolutely.
much, I can understand why Seriously. You would never get anybody. First of all, you got to catch them. But number one, I think by definition, you've passed the field sobriety test if you're still standing up. Now, if you've crashed into a tree,
right.
that's just called public drunkenness. That's right. sitting down there right. on the ground.
But, yeah. so always carry a
No, I mean, you can weave
onion.
All over the place. You think about it. Look at Bart Simpson in the beginning of the thing that was on the skateboard, and he's going all over the place.
Right.
If weaving was an indication
right.
of drunkenness,
he was weaving back and forth in the rail blades.
Right.
Right.
Yes, I'm saw
sorry.
Him weaving. You know.
No, I'm sorry. If you're standing up on him, you pass the field.
So let me ask you a question. What was the deal with that? Was it a DUI on a wheelchair?
Yeah.
So he had to go to traffic school and all that, right?
Oh, yeah. Lose his license.
Lose his license.
True.
Oh,
like
my
you have to
God.
Have a license for a wheelchair or...
Wow. And I'm sure this guy
nope.
did, too, with his mower or whatever.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's excellent. Good news.
Where did he take his mower that he got arrested? It couldn't have been on his own property, obviously.
Oh, well, it was Vermillion, Ohio.
Okay. But, I mean, where was he driving?
Well, I mean, he was police arrested a man accused of operating a lawnmower while drunk. Donnie Bowles, 50, was arrested, 50 years old, was arrested about 9:45 p.m. Friday as he drove the mower on a sidewalk.
Oh, well, there you are.
Yeah. He said, police says he used the mower to drive to the store about a mile from his home and was arrested on the way back. Police had the lawnmower towed. Police said his breath test was 0.144% above...
he may get off because he wasn't on the freeway.
Yeah, but he's on a public, you know, the sidewalk.
Police said it was Bowles' third drunken driving... related arrest in 6 months.
Yes, but is there yet a law in Ohio that says you cannot ride your mower on
sidewalk?
They'll get you on that.
I'll tell you, in Florida, the requirement is actually that you're on a public roadway of some type. So
really?
But yeah.
Be in your driveway?
No, yeah, that's not public.
Well, actually, driveway counts somehow.
Somehow.
it counts. I think it counts if they followed you there. But
yeah.
if you're standing in your own driveway, I don't think they can
That's
go
true.
No.
So you're sitting in your car, and your car's running, and they didn't see you.
I've had a guy arrested who his AC broke in his trailer, so he went out in his car, started his car up, turned the AC on, went to bed, and the sheriff drove by, saw the car running, went over there, got him out. He was drunk. Hadn't driven anywhere.
Right.
But he was in the car with the keys in there. They have a standard called actual physical control. But he was not on any public roadway, and we got dismissed.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Well, yeah. So do sidewalks count? I mean,
that's what I'm thinking. He may be able to say, well, I was just mowing my neighbor's yards.
Well, no.
That's what I'd say.
Yeah.
I wouldn't get on the sidewalk. I'd have cut a path.
Right. You do like
proving that you were drunk.
Yeah, right. Like, remember
you can see how it's
remember the Simpsons, the shinning, where Bart cuts the hole through Willie's hedge maze?
Yeah. yeah.
Well, you remember also,
like,
the other thing was...
this mower just right through everybody's
You remember L.A. Story when Steve Martin goes to work in the morning over everybody's lawn and down the stairs?
right.
While he's doing his hair and... That's what he should have done.
Just got a couple more things. Did you see? This is kind of funny. Pay by weight hotel. A German hotel owner. He actually charges different people 0.64 cents per kilogram for his with a $94 limit for a double room. Okay. Now, so if in other words, if you don't get on the scale, then he's just going to charge you the limit. And he's saying there's no discrimination. He says, first of all, there's an upper limit, and second, I don't force anybody to get on the scale. And nevertheless, no one has yet to say, no, forget that. He said some guests trip down to try to save money, which, of course, we would like to see certain guests strip down. Anyway, the single room maximum fee is 172 pounds, 39 euros. Anyway, he got a letter that was complaining that he was discriminating against fat people. Of course, but he's never had a problem with anything.
What does he say is the justification?
He said because there's a top limit.
He says there's a top limit.
And you don't have to get on the scale.
Yeah, you don't have to get on the scale. And he got the
top
idea.
Top limit to what?
$94 limit for a double room.
But yeah. What is his reason?
Oh, well, he got the idea to charge by the kilogram from one guest who had gained weight every year. He told her jokingly he would start charging her an extra fee for being so heavy.
He's trying to promote health.
Right. A year later, okay. She had lost 77 pounds and asked for a discount. It seemed like a reasonable demand, he said.
Okay.
So all he's doing is giving a discount.
It's
actually a discount,
right.
which we
right.
think about it.
It is a discount, number one. And number two, The other thing is, I'm surprised he didn't come in on the wear and tear on the bed or something like that. You know,
well, no, this is a health issue.
Health issue. So you can get away with that. Okay, fine, good.
You know,
but go to court. Let the judge figure it out.
Yeah,
let's hope the judge is not 300 pounds. Oh, you know, I'd certainly do a little judge.
I would like a chance of venue, please.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I'd take a look at
that. I want to get
an Ichabod Crane.
Without the head.
Yeah, that's what I'd want to do. I'll tell you, I'd get me a Twiggy or somebody up there, for God's sakes, as a judge.
Yeah, the only other thing that I got is just one thing. Did you know that Play-Doh is going to make a perfume?
Now, this is not Plato and Aristotle. This is
Plato, the Plato stuff that you play with as a kid. D-O-H, like dough, right?
Yeah, like Homer.
Like, oh. It's one of the most unique smells around, and now you can wear it. For $19 a bottle, you can smell like Play-Doh. Hasbro has created Play-Doh perfume in honor of the product's 50th anniversary.
Big seller.
That's disgusting. Why don't you just pay $2 for an entire tub of it, and you can rub that shit all over your body?
Now, the thing is that, well, of course, EJ and I had an idea. We wanted to have a cologne that we think would sell great, and again, if Hangar Dogs, if you guys rip this off from us, we're coming after you. But we wanted to have a jet fuel aftershave.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the smell of burnt fuel. You know, it'd have to be,
exactly.
It'd have to be burnt.
JT4 or something, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's got to smell just like that. But that'd be so, I'd wear it.
Oh.
There's no question.
Yeah,
that's the first thing you do when you go to the airport, is go stick your head inside an engine and smell.
That's what I do.
That's what I do.
Yeah, it's my first thing.
I'm sure they do out there, too.
Yeah, jet exhaust, whatever. Yeah, that's good. Well, I mean, I'm wondering, is there a difference between the difference in a 50 cal and a regular old bullet? I mean, if you have that kind of smell.
Ooh, that smells good, too.
Yeah,
but EJ would know.
Actually, it's just much more intense, because even the charge that you use to fire a howitzer is very similar to the charge that you use to fire
a weapon.
Same
smokeless powder.
So what happens when you fire, 20-pound, a 300-pound round, you open the breech and out comes this smoke that's so thick it fills
the
room.
Well, now this actually would make for a, this.
That would be great. See, we could market that in the gun stores.
The beauty is we could market the distribution system, which would be the howitzer. I mean, the applicator would sit outside your front door rather than in your your bathroom.
Right.
None of this namby-pamby underarms, spray.
Small bottle or anything.
We're talking out there and fire around.
The thing off and stand in the smoke.
That's right. Stand in the smoke and then you're done.
Right.
That seems little enough to ask. You wouldn't even have to put a full load in. I would say a half load. With a half load and maybe, you could make the bullet itself out of, something light, aluminum maybe.
How about
it wouldn't go far.
Right.
And then have it parachute down, recoverable. Right. I mean, there's a lot of things you could do, but I mean,
you can fire one off without even using a round. You can just fire the charge.
Yeah.
Well, there's a thought.
There you go.
And your neighbors would love it.
Or you could put a goose in there and shoot it into Chicago.
Goose, there you go.
Without the foie gras. You can put the goose food in there and shoot it into the goose.
God, there's a lot of
speed on that.
You remember the potato gun? Yeah. I mean, there's lots of goose gun.
I think that's an example of where the bottle and packaging costs a little more than the product.
Well, I tell you what you can
get. You gotta buy this howitzer to get this smoke.
But let me tell you something.
You got 50 pounds and $50 worth of explosives. Dude.
What you can get in China, made in China these days, is so cheap. You better those watches.
I wouldn't want to fire the Chinese howitzer. Well, actually, they probably make pretty decent howitzers.
Well, it's not only that.
They might actually start shipping it. Oh, this is for America. Oh, not. Ooh, let's skimp out
on it. But the nice thing about it is if it blows up, the distribution pattern would be sweet. might have replaced your front door or something, depending on where this thing is. That's good. No, that's good. That's exciting. Okay, I'm done. We beat that to death.
Anything else?
Horse.
Good?
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay.
All right.
Woo-hoo. Thank you. Keep those cards and letters coming. Don't forget to give us a review if you want.
Yeah,
we're still up there, like number one or two. If you look for
Libertarian Podcast, we're number one on Google. And
Yahoo. I think we're in Yahoo. And
We're all over Yahoo and MSN. Yeah.
Tell your friends.
Well, somebody is telling their friends, because I noticed, as I think I mentioned on the first half of this thing, that I think it's Litchfield or something like that. Right. They all come in and says, are you a repeat visitor? And says, no, 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 no. And we get 20 hits. tents or something.
Right.
So somebody up there is telling their friends.
Hello, Lichy.
Yeah,
Timothy McVeigh's cousins are all listening now.
That's it. All right, well, thank you all. And we'll
write us jimmy@jimmydone.com.
Yeah. We'll get on
the mailing list on the website.
Yeah, mailing list, right. We've had some people do that.
Yeah.
So it's jimmy@jimmydone.com.
Place your orders for the stickers now.
Oh, stickers, yes.
I'll put the logo up, and if you get to take some feedback, tell us if you guys like the design or not.
Yeah. Stand back.
Stand back.
Yeah, we're going to put those around.
We love you, America.
See ya. It's up to you now. Thank you.